Okay, hello.
So,
Let me quickly switch back.
happy to be here for the opportunity to talk a bit about what we are doing in the Confidential Containers Project in terms of attestation and our challenges that we have in this particular environment. I'm working at Microsoft in the Azure Core Linux organization, and yeah. I'm involved in the CNCF Confidential Containers project as a contributor and maintainer. The context quickly, so Confidential Containers is an effort to introduce confidential computing into the container ecosystem. And confidential computing today is mostly a VM technology. So this is a bit of a friction because containers usually are not launched in VMs. There's like different boundaries, namespaces that are being used to isolate containers. But if you want to kind of retrofit confidentiality to containers, then we have to add VMs. So luckily, this is not something that we have to start from scratch because there are like prior efforts to do exactly this for maybe using containers in multi-tenant situations. You want to have like strong virtualization boundaries across in an environment, and Kata Containers is one of those projects that were existing and a good fit for the project to integrate into. Yeah, and quickly, I think this is simplified, but it's I think important to understand the context, what is actually going on today when you launch a container. So it's usually you would do this on a Kubernetes deployment, a Kubernetes cluster. A user would write their spec, their container spec, and when we talk about container spec, often it's actually multiple containers that are logically grouped into a pod, which is like a collection of co-located containers. You can think of maybe a local cache or you know, a message queue. Like it's not necessarily just one process, and this is what we call pods. And those specs we deploy to a API server, and the API server kind of dispatches this to the nodes where the actual workload is running. And on the nodes, we have a component that's called a kubelet, and that kubelet itself then starts interfacing with the actual container layer. So it used to be Docker under there. Today, it's a bit more abstracted. It's a container runtime interface. There's different container runtimes. The most popular one is probably Containerd today. And this one is again translating it into OCI runtime calls. And you have a part of the runtime that is really doing the C groups, the namespacing, and spawning the processes that we defined in our pod spec. So this is how it looks in a more or less vanilla setup for containers today. And yeah, this, like as I mentioned, the sandbox that we see below, this is terminology in the container runtime space where we basically host the pods, like this deployment atom I was talking about, the co-located processes. And is more or less what people work with. And it's a good interface for confidentiality to kind of build upon. Yeah, you can also build, for example, say we introduce a confidentiality boundary on the node. There's also options to do this, but this has several problems because there might be untrusted code that is deployed on the node. I know a log scraper or other like administrative processes. And the Confidential Containers project settled on the pod as an abstraction, and that introduces some challenges. So as we see here, like the confidential VM boundary is sitting between the container runtime and, if you will, the container runtime backend. In our case, it's the Kata agent that is spawning processes and kind of being the watchdog. And this can actually also be the case that it doesn't, it's not necessarily a VM that is on the running on the node. This architecture allows you also to have a confidential VM that is remote. So this is one flexibility of this Kata architecture, that there's also a remote hypervisor that is not actually local, but can just talk to, for example, cloud APIs. And in this case, it works pretty well, because anyway, for confidential VMs, you have very strong isolation between the host and the VM. So it's not like you can do a lot of resource sharing anyway. Yeah, the attestation architecture for confidential containers is not very exotic, I would say. Like, you have a workload that is measured, that that is included in evidence, and there's an attestation service and a key broker service that's called Trusty. That's part of the project that is kind of very close to confidential containers, but it can also be deployed in different contexts. But I think there's nothing really special in this, like in terms of the or the ceremonies of attestation that confidential containers does. What's more exotic is the fact that we have to deal with a lot of dynamism, and it's this is something that we need to measure. Like, this sandbox that we've seen earlier is one part of what we call workload. Like, we have the static components that we see below. It's the Kata agent and the base OS, and this is all you can measure. We use measured boot for that. So this is, I think, something that is less challenging than measuring the dynamic sandbox, and this is what I'll focus on. Yeah, so in general, maybe as a remark, like, the Docker OCI container images themselves have some convenient way of measuring them built in, so they're content addressable. If you reference them by the digest, you can verify that is actually what you're pulling from an OCI registry is what you intend to, or what you specified. But the problem is that sandboxes are controlled imperatively. So what we're seeing is, like, this is a log from the Kata RPC, basically, and what we get from this earlier sketch from the Kubernetes spec side, this translates into a list of calls. In this case, it's, you create a sandbox, and there's some exchange, but then there's a container being created. That's like the first thing that happens. There's actually two containers. So one is a pause container that is kind of an implementation detail of Kubernetes, but there's, as you see, like, those processes are not something that is very declarative. It's pretty imperative, and it is also not arbitrary how those are executed. Like, the pause container needs to be first, or an init container needs to be launched first, and this is critical. So, and I mean, the objective stays the same for confidential containers. In the end, we want to ensure that the operations that are being executed are the ones that we intended to run. Before we release a secret, this has to be verified in remote attestation. And this means, like, we have to somehow get to a notion of a container workload, how we can measure this. And as I mentioned before, so this is, we have to deal with the dynamic nature. And it's not just that this that the commands are the imperative, but there's also inherent dynamisms in Kubernetes that, for example, services that are in the cluster are injected as environment variables for service discovery. And an environment variable can, if you just without verifying it, it can subvert confidentiality guarantees. Yeah, if you think like someone changes the Redis host variable, and you're not talking to a local Redis host anymore, but to a remote Redis host, so this is pretty critical. And also, often there's like governance built into Kubernetes services. So a user wants to deploy container A version 1, but the platform team decides that you cannot do this, and they will always rewrite your container to version 2 transparently. So this is something that is also a challenge in those environments. And there's like different options to deal with this. One of the options that's being discussed is locking the control plane in a way that you really only try to identify the trustable with predictable operations. But it's very hard, from my perspective, it's very hard to do this because the Kubernetes API surface is pretty large and it's always increasing, and it would rely or would require a lot of code to keep up with this and have and provide an experience that is not completely foreign to users of Kubernetes. But there's an effort underway, it's called Split API, that tries to do this. I don't really know where we are with this, but I think people are actively working on this. We also have the option of keeping a log, a bit like IMA. The problem that we have in confidential computing is that not all TEEs at the moment provide registers that we can extend at runtime. And as I mentioned, some payloads are not really predictable because the environment controls them. So the verification of such a log is also not something that is trivial. But I wouldn't rule this out, that in the end we have to get to an architecture that is somewhat similar. So finally, the option that we ended up with is having a policy in the TEE. So we kind of describe the invariance of a deployment, like something that we really want to know. I showed earlier, like we want the image digest, for example, the OCI image digest. We define, or we say like there's acceptable environment variables that can be injected. Everything starting with service. We reject like all cutter RPCs, like for example, exec into a container, logging by default, and have users allow list the option in the policy, and we cherry pick what's required. And this is something that is currently implemented in the cutter agent. It's implemented on using Rego, which is in Kubernetes land. A familiar tool, and Kata also has a tool to generate a policy, like a sane default policy from a pod spec. And you can see here like how this plugs into the whole architecture. So in front of the Kata RPC, we have a policy engine that is part of the measured static container runtime, if you will, and this evaluates like every call. So we have the calls and the payload, and we check whether they're within allowed parameters. So you see here, like this is an example policy, how it looks like. You see here, we allow a few requests. We define commands that are allowed, and this is something that a user would have to do or has to do in this case, but those policies can be rather large. So it's maybe something that we really need to automate or abstract a bit. Yeah, so this policy also needs to somehow get provisioned into the TEE. So this is instead of the generic like runtime, which is static and we can measure and there's a predictable measurement, the policy is specific per the workload. And we need to provide it as measured configuration at launch, and we also need to link it to the TEE. And this is like one way of doing this, I think is pretty typical, is somewhere hashing this dynamic configuration and store the hash into SNP's host data or mrconfig ID for TDX, or extend it into VTPM, because the verifier can then check that as host data, for example, is part of the attestation report, the verifier, like this is not changeable or anything, so if you launch a VM and you specify host data, you know at verification time that this VM has been launched with this configuration. So you, this is how we bind it to the TEE. So it's not just a policy, it's a bit more, but we call this init data specification. We have, for example, also to set KBS certificates, etc. But it's rather straightforward. It's essentially just a dictionary of path and file content that we provision on the host. And this is currently being implemented. It's not available for all TEEs, but the architecture has been settled and it probably will be in the next release. You see here, yeah, this from the user side, it's embedded into the pod spec as an annotation. We just have, I think some limitations here, but in essence, you run, you do some base 64, I think, encoding, and then you provide it in the pod spec that is sent to the API server. Yeah, this would be like a truncated example of the init data that we use. So there's a hashing algorithm so that you can tell like how do I find it in host data, for example, like where is it, which algorithm I have to use to identify this. Yeah, now the challenges that we have with this architecture, from my perspective, I think the problem is that the policy is stateless, and it tries to kind of map it onto an imperative set of calls. And there's like complex orchestration. So if you just watch like every RPC call individually, we cannot really express stuff like the init container has to run first. And if the init container runs second, then this is not what we intend. So now that we have to kind of introduce a notion of state in this, and this is actually being implemented, or there's an open PR in Qatar for this, but this is probably something that you can't really avoid to express the notion of a measured workload, container workload. We have a set of like practical problems that are kind of solvable, I think, like the size of policies. Kubernetes has limits in terms of how much you can fit into annotations. And we have to come up with schemes like compression is probably workable. But in the end, I think the user experience is not really great if you have to write this yourself. So we have to really build tooling that makes it easy for users to deploy their pods into TEEs. And I think there's the conceptual problem I'm seeing is like if you're really tracking the RPC interface closely in those policies, it's very easy to introduce like exploit vectors unintentionally, because you have to basically model the behavior or have to keep track of the behavior of those APIs also For the people who work on Kata but not Cocoa, they would have to cover this very closely to make sure that it's also like in the default policy you have this managed. And I think on all, like, there's more challenges like runtime measurement that is coming up now. There's composite TEs with confidential GPUs. I think, yeah, we will address them when the users demand them, but I think those are all solvable. And if you want to recap quickly, I think the attestation for container sandboxes, I think, is still a tricky topic. The solution right now that we do, that we offload the verification to a policy, is like a workable mitigation for the time being, but maybe not the solution that will cover all cases in the future. And I think that would be the talk from my side. Thanks for listening. And absolutely. I mean, that's really also my impression, that it's just too complex. I think and we have to somehow get a grip, like, what guarantees, how do we model this? But in the end, we have to like, there's few we can do about the container ecosystem. So we have to, like, confidential containers has a wants to pretty much pick up users where they are, and they want to have essentially just a small annotation in their pod that says confidential true, and that's all they should do. And if this is like the North Star, then you have to kind of deal with what's given to you. But we have to somehow, I think, find a way to reduce this complexity. I agree. So this is very easy to inadvertently or maliciously introduce problems in this architecture. Oh, yeah. The problem. the question was like, this looks all very complex, and it's very easy to, like, security and complexity don't mix well. And what can we do to limit those?
Yeah, ironically, we have heard the talk earlier about reducing the TCP DLS was too complicated, but here we are completely different
ballpark. Yeah, it's like very, I think, a user-centric project that, like, where I think the applicability for the solution was like there from the beginning. Like, we have to start see, like, what can we do that people can actually start using this, and then as we go, we figure out problems with this architecture and have to see how we can address them.
You didn't get the time to explain the runtime measurements. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering if you could quickly just elaborate what the current kind of solution or thinking is to solve this kind of problem, especially from the freshness perspective.
Yeah, I mean, the TEEs that we mostly work with are SEV, SNP, and then TDX, and TDX has RTMRs, so we have runtime. But the idea was to abstract, like, TEEs to a minimum, and so there's no notion of runtime measurements yet in confidential containers. But this, I think, will be a problem very soon, because we have, like, we're looking at very long-running training, machine learning jobs rather than Nginx containers that people spawn up. So we have to probably to think about continuous measurements, and we have to see, like, how can we fit this. Like, Azure has this solved this in a way that there's a BTPM that is running in on a higher privilege level that is isolated as a confidential VM from the host, but also from the guest OS. So you have kind of this confidential playground extended. It's a bit more complex, but it's linked to the TEE cryptographically. And there you can have like use all the runtime tools to do measurements into PCRs, etc. So maybe if this architecture, I think Coconut is also providing a VTPM for SNP, and we have RTMRs and TDX, so maybe this is something that is reasonable for the future.
Okay, thank you very much. I think we have a quick one.
You mentioned Trusty, and Trusty, so, you have the encrypted container image, and then you need to get the encryption key first, but in order to get that encryption key, when you run it in a container, you first need to go through the attestation dance. So in your block diagram where you show the different components, I believe there are a couple missing because they obviously that something needs to happen first, like there's a whole machinery happening.
Yeah, I mean, so the question was what about like the encrypted images? They were missing there, but the encrypted images are essentially, so they're not, you don't need encrypted images, and the encrypted images, like, at the moment, images are pulled in the guest for the upstream architecture. And so what you can do, you can, the guest OS starts, and it does, performs like attestation ceremony, and you get, you're able to get the encryption key before you launch the container. This is just part of the pre-container.
That's something you omitted.
Yeah, but it's...
Can you discuss afterwards? Thank you very much.